Family and friends, and for those of us that are joining on the webcast, we welcome you too. We're gathered here in this place to celebrate a life, to meet together as close friends and family of Peter Locke. But we come to celebrate and to give thanks for his life, but we come too to commit him and ourselves into God's loving care. Many of you will know me as Ian Schooler. Some might know that I do this for a living. But today I come here as a privilege because I'm first and foremost Peter's friend. Later this morning, after we have been here for a while, we're going to head together and share some time with refreshments if we are ever able, those that can manage. And we look forward to sharing many of the memories that we have of Peter. This church is a place that Peter knew. It's the family church. It's a place to which he has contributed over many years. A church where his family belong. Linda has been a member of the Young Wives, an organist, a leader in the children's mission, member of the choir. A place where Sarah and Heather came as children, as teenagers. And Peter was a constant support in many ways, often never seen. In many ways, he has supported this church through his talents and his skills, quietly, often in the background. It's a day like today that you say, behind every great woman, there is a good man. And today we come to celebrate that good man. And we're there because in one way or another, you're sitting remembering how his death has affected all of you. In many different ways, over many different occasions, his influence on your life has brought you together to celebrate those times, to remember your love for him. And we thought earlier at the committal service just how difficult it is at these times, a time of sadness, a time of wonder, a time when we, as we remember Peter's life and all he meant to us, cry out for a way of making sense of all of it. We're left with questions to which there seems no answers and moments we wish we had left to share. Things we had yet to ask him and things that are now left unsaid. But the Lord God, our Father, knows how we feel. And he shares in the helplessness that we share. And so we turn to him for help and we look in Scripture for words. In John's Gospel, we read these words. I am the truth and the way and the life, said the Lord, and no man comes to the Father except by me. But my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, and neither should you be afraid. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And you may take your yoke, and you may put upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble, and you will find rest for your souls in me. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I know that the burden that Peter had has been taken from him. And today we can celebrate his life and rejoice in all the good that he did in his lifetime here with us. And we will remember him. Shall we join together in a prayer? Let's pray. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, through you, your Son Jesus, you've given us a faith and a sure and a certain hope. And so we ask that you strengthen that faith and hope in us through all our days, that we might live as those who believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal God, you are the Lord of life, and you're the conqueror of death, and so our very help in times of trouble. So comfort us today as we mourn the loss of our friend Peter. Give us grace in the presence of death to worship you, and help us to put our whole trust in your goodness and mercy. For loving God, we come to you in this, our time of need. And as you've given us birth, and now as we face the mystery that is death, help us to find you in the whole of our life, in its beginning and in its ending. Help us to find you in our pain as well as in our joy, in our doubts as well as our believing, that we will find comfort in your word and your light in the darkness that we see. But Father, we acknowledge before you today that you are the giver and the sustainer of life. And as you've appointed a time for our birth, so also you appoint a time for our departure. But Lord, you know our hearts and you share in the sorrows that we feel. So we thank you that your love is stronger than death, and that through Jesus we can be brought to an eternal life with you. So help us this day, as we hear the promises of your word, to believe them and to receive the comfort that they offer. And as the giver of hope, may you grant us joy and peace in believing, that our fears might be conquered, that our loneliness is eased and our hope reawakened. But today, as we commit ourselves and as we commit Peter into your care, we ask that you grant to us all that we need to do all things well. But most importantly, give us strength and give us hope and give us courage. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Peter's cousin Simon read to us Ellen. I'm wondering if you would like to come up and read a scripture to us.
The reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
Thank you. There are many readings from Scripture that we think are important. That Scripture particularly we read often at weddings, but it was one of Peter's favourite texts. It was a passage that he had actually hanging on the wall. And for all of the words in that, It was those words that Peter tried to live his life by. Faith and hope and love. The greatest of those three was love. We have a God that is a God of love and is that unconditional love that he shared with us through the sacrifice of his only son for our sakes. And Peter knew of that love, and it is that love that he shared with each of you in many different ways, but love all the same. And that love that he gave can never be taken away. There is no height nor depth in this world or anything else that can remove it. No one can take it away. And so Peter will always be a part of you in the love that he gave you. So through his time with you here and the love that he shared, that even that his earthly presence has gone, he will remain always here within all of you as a part of you because of the love that you shared together. There's a privilege on these occasions that you're able to speak on behalf of a loved one publicly for perhaps the final time. Peter and I were together many times, and it was always good to stand behind them, but now I get to stand in front. And I'm grateful to the family for this opportunity, but also for sharing with me some of their memories of Peter. I'm especially indebted to Linda and to Sarah and Heather, and to the immediate family, of course, for their particular assistance in just bringing some of this tribute to you. In the days and weeks before Peter was called to higher service, he and I spoke about this day, about his feelings, about his intentions, about how any service in his memory might be conducted. He honoured me by saying he wanted me to conduct the funeral, and for that I'm most humble. But Peter would have wanted preparations to be put in place, as you can imagine. Make sure the video cameras were sorted out, make sure the sound was right, make sure there was enough seats. He would have had it all written down somewhere. Something simple but meaningful, something thoughtful, something full of humility, something full of love, something with a bit of humour in it. And if he'd been given the time, he would have done so. But the girls have in his place and done a wonderful tribute for him. That answer wasn't in Peter or I's hands. And for like all of us here, we would have meant that today was not to take place for a while yet, but that wasn't in our hands, but in the hands of the Lord. His words to me were, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away," and on that we agreed. But we here are richly blessed in having Peter Locke as one of our friends, one of our own, in the racing family, as a work colleague, as a brother in Christ, as a friend, as a family member. And there's no better indication of the esteem in which Peter has been held than the attendance here today, and for those online. And I need to mention also the vast number of cards and flowers and wishes that Linda and the girls have had, which in part will bring them comfort in the days ahead. There are so many messages and Facebook messages and social media. But one I loved, I think, summed it up. That Peter was a man who brought joy and love, and my life is more enriched by knowing him. But what about Peter? Who was he? Peter was born on the 29th of March in 1958 to Alec and Cathy Locke at a home in Howlettness Road, Airdrie. He weighed in at an astonishing 13 pounds and 10 ounces. If there's any young people in the audience, that's heavy. He was a younger brother to Liz and to Robbie and to Alan, and apparently looked like a three-month-old baby when he was born. His mum used to tell everybody, "There's no point bringing him baby clothes. He's ready for a cap and a school bag." Here he was good at school. He learned to play the piano. He was a member of the Boys' Brigade. and enjoyed many family get-togethers as well as holidays with his cousins. And he went on to develop an interest in cars and motor racing at an early age when he was helping brother Robbie out. He was into rallying and used to read the pace notes and navigate and help with the car. That set him on that track. As a teenager, he became an uncle to Alistair, closely followed by Simon, whom you've met. In the later years, Angela and Gordon and Sharon and Alex and Haley. He went to university, 1975, to Strathclyde to study computer science. Peter was already proving himself to be somewhat of a computer whiz kid then, and as a result, he only attended lectures when he felt he needed to. There's a surprise. He even helped out the lecturers because he knew more about some of the programming languages than they did. At the time, he was balancing his uni work with working for Robbie, who by this time was starting out his own computing business. Robbie was recalling the trouble they got into when they used their mum's oven to stove enamel some computer cases. It was a close call as to whether they would have to dial 999 or deal with the product. He shared a flat in the south side of Glasgow with his school friend Tom. He loved many different genres of music, from pop to classical and loads in between. And money he had was often spent on buying hi-fi equipment. Linda used to hear rumours at uni of his flat containing thousands of pounds worth of hi-fi. There wasn't anything else. The flat itself was not the most salubrious. And on one occasion, when Liz and Dad visited, they decided it'd be best not to bring their mother round here. There was also rumours that Peter and Tom lived off free cold meat scraps from the local supermarket. You see, the local supermarket were giving them stuff at the end of the day. Until one day they asked, "How is the dog?" He couldn't lie. We don't have one. And the free scraps stopped after that. But perhaps that was at the beginning of his blacking. Well, at university, Peter met Linda, of course, his wife-to-be, and Peter only recently confessed to Linda that on the night they met at a birthday party, a 21st, he and his friend had tossed a coin to decide which girl to dance with Peter. Peter maintains he lost the toss, but I don't think so. The rest, of course, is history. It was then that he came out with the cheesiest of lines. Remember those chat-up lines, gentlemen? Peter's West one, "Where have you been all my life?" They began dating, and it was during that time that Linda can remember the flowchart incident. Peter shared that with me, and it was obviously something that he found humorous. During a lecture on the use and meaning of particular flowcharts, the lecturer left this diamond-shaped decision box empty for questions to be placed in it, asking the students, "What should we write in here?" Peter, of course, is getting a bit tetchy because he's got a job to do for Robbie. Eventually bored, he got out of his seat, went to the front, took the chalk and wrote, "Is it time to leave, yes or no?" He promptly ticked the yes arrow, put the chalk down, said goodbye to the class and walked out. As the class knew that they were dating, everybody turned and stared at Linda, looking for some form of explanation. And all she could do was look embarrassed and shrug her shoulders. Well, he was off to fix a computer somewhere in Glasgow. It was more important. Having completed 4 years at uni and getting a first-class honours degree, he got a job with Hewlett-Packard in South Queensferry. And then he rented a flat from the local housing association. At least that was one that Mother could come and visit. Peter and Linda got married on the 19th of September 1980 and settled down into married life. And they bought their first house in Alexander Park in Broxburn. Not long after that, Sarah was born. That was in 1984 and followed shortly after by Heather in 1987. And that family then moved round the corner into St John's Road, where they are now. As a family, they've enjoyed many well-documented holidays. Peter always had a camera or a video camera in his hand. And many Scottish staycations were had, as well as visits to family in England and in Wales. Many happy memories. Alton Towers, where they visited with their friends, the Smiths and the Adams. a lot of other holidays through the amazing Hewlett-Packard Holiday Cottage Scheme, one of the favourites was Dunoon, where he learnt to ride horses. Crieff, Nesselwang in Germany. That, of course, turned into a three-week tour of Europe in the comfort of Peter's new Renault Espace, again, thanks to Hewlett-Packard. Peter worked very hard. He was extremely successful at the start of his career. He was able to put his name to many patents and travelled extensively around the world. He was also one of the key managers in the development of the 37900D signalling analyzer. You all know what that is. Well, it was a much needed and successful product for the Queensberry Telecom division. So successful, in fact, that it was the seed that started a new division, Telecom Systems Division. He also worked on Access 7 and on rates, and many of his colleagues recall him as the best manager they ever had. Peter always spoke of the HP way, or as we all know it, the Peter HP way. He was very generous. He was a very generous dad. The girls always had the most up-to-date gadgets, toys, tech. And even though it turned out that Peter was actually allergic to horses, he was always there to support the girls when they were into horses as teenagers, driving them to many events and shows over the years, as well as learning to ride himself. He also became that quintessential dad taxi, driving the girls and their friends to places and events, including those 3 o'clock in the morning pickups from Edinburgh nightclubs, and the 20-minute diversion to go to the Baker's, because we always used to go to the Baker's on the way home, didn't we? To Malone's to get the rolls. Peter always had a love of cars. He was always good too at finding a perfect parking spot when it was needed. But when he retired, he took up motorsport. And mentioning Germany earlier in Nürburgring, we have to remember the Nürburgring, with which Peter was synonymous. His love of that circuit, his love of motorsport, saw him acquire a flat in a garage on the circuit and begin one of his most memorable campaigns. Do we remember the Save the Ring campaign? Many have visited since by Peter's generosity, putting up prizes, for example, to allow friends to go and to share an opportunity in driving over there. Motorsport for him was a passion, beginning, as I mentioned earlier, rallying with brother Robbie and acting as a navigator in his Mini. He co-drove with me in several cars, notably the MGB, and the awards that we won is still in the garage. He was good with all the theory. He could teach navigation to anybody simply to make you understand it. Although when we actually sat in the car, unfolding a map was his best talent. Those of you who have watched Peter drive might now realize, though, why he was the only sprint driver in the whole of the country that could Scandinavian flick a corner whilst on an MX5. He competed online with Mark and John Munro and many others in his sim racing. Apparently that's a thing young people do. And along with Gary and Jen, Colin, Leslie, myself, Mark, it was at joint weekly meetings we used to sit and watch the Grand Prix together. Anything motorsport. Getting his motorbike license, Gary and I, and according to the visits that went to the TT, the time staying on the Isle of Man with Mike, the two of them going marshalling with Andrew, and Peter's prowess at blagging anything came to a fore there. He came away with the Suzuki's TT's advertising banners. That looks nice, and I'll take it for my garage. It's still there. Don't know how you managed to get it home on the back of a motorbike. Brassneck? Well, it was for Airdrie. If you smile, you'll get anything. Since retiring, he's obviously concentrated his love of sports. He's won many awards in his classes, enjoyed the competition, the camaraderie, and he's become famous, or maybe infamous, driving that multi-stickered car that sits outside, or at least that was his new version. Many of you have competed against Peter in the years over and from all over the country, from Golspie to Isle of Man and places beyond. And you'll all have memories, though, not of the racing, but of Peter in the paddock, full of fun, a presence, charitable, generous. How many times did he offer a double drive to drivers who had lost their car for whatever reason? And those ridiculous hats, a new one every year, each one funnier than the last. A talking point or an icebreaker, he would say. He was self-deprecating, he was humble, always full of advice and assistance, whether you wanted it or not. He assisted with the organisational side too, helping with the score and the finances of the Lowland and Highland Championships after we lost David Baker. He wanted to do that, to keep the championship going alongside. There were shows, there were exhibitions where he represented the sport, and the award presentations that he would organise with his photographs and his montages and his mementos. He was always present, working the room and starring as his perfect doppelganger, Peter the Wine Waiter. Shakespeare had a wonderful way of remembering a fine man full of humour. Alas, poor Peter, I knew him well, a fellow of infinite jest and of most excellent fancy. Unfortunately, in the last year or so, illness caught up with Peter, and he hadn't managed to compete since the COVID outbreak. His intention was to continue. He'd bought the new race car for that purpose. And just last weekend, a group of his close friends did a kind of car SOS to make sure we could carry out his wishes and rebuild the car. It was a bit more like Dad's army that did it, but we did it. Mark managed to put it together with pencil drawings that Peter put about what it should look like, because he was desperate that that new RX-8 would go out there. It would go up a hill, and we did. We took it up last week, and it drove up as a tribute to him. He wanted that car to highlight and make you aware of what cancer can do. And so, gentlemen, take his hint and his tip and check yourself, or get somebody to do it for you. You could say Peter was somewhat of a thrill seeker. He engaged in paraponting, that's flinging yourself off the side of a mountain, but you got a parachute to take. He did abseiling, rugby, deep sea diving, horse riding, caving, ice driving, rallying, and of course, motor racing, all at different points in his life. But one thing you might not know is he was a star of the 1998 movie blockbuster Deep Impact. If you've not seen that movie, then you need to go on Netflix tonight and look out for Peter. Well, at least that's what he always told us. He just was on a work trip to New York. He couldn't sleep one night, and as there was filming going on, he decided he'd be nosy and go and have a watch, and blagged himself a part as a walk-on in the movie as an extra. Nobody else could do that. But what of home? Linda said all marriages have their ups and downs, and Peter's and Linda's was no different. They've experienced some challenging times together. And to all the family and to the friends who supported them through those times. And Linda wishes a heartfelt thank you, for she knows the positive impact that the sport had on them both. And as a result of that, their marriage has gone on to last for 42 years and was hugely enriched by the recent arrival of their two beloved grandsons. A blessing indeed. When Peter became a papa in December 2017 to Daly and into Moss in July 2020. This was a role he was meant to have. It was all the things he was to everyone, but here there was that extra bit, a bit more of the sunshine, the hugs, the laughter. He cherished the Mondays that he would spend with them, and we all know how proud he was of them. Daly is most recently described Papa as the most awesomest tickle monster. How fitting is that? A title he certainly did live up to. And as well as the tickling, he was always on the floor playing or running around the garden for a game of chase, always there for a cuddle when it was needed. And most of us know how good his hugs were. Due to Peter's continued documentation of every event, yes, even meal times, the boys now have a cherished time capsule of memories of their times with their papa. So he's had a big impact on their lives already, and they equally had a big impact on him and Linda's life. For they together worked as a team to support and to nurture them. Peter was good at looking at others, though, and taking examples. And one such was the example of two friends, Ross and Lynn. They're only half the people they used to be. But in recent years, Peter and Linda joined Slimming World because of them. Would anybody like a Haribo? It's an in-joke. On most of the regular basis at the group's taster nights, Peter would do that just to break the ice. And I'm guessing a few of you might be salivating just now thinking of that simple but ever so tasty, non-fattening version of those sweets. For Peter was a man of very many talents, as we know, and had mastered this recipe at home that produces different flavours of your own Haribos. Orange and raspberry, raspberry donut, gin and tonic, banana, custard, you name it, he tried the flavours. Both Peter and Linda were determined, though, to lose weight, and they were successful. Peter lost 3.5 stone in just a few months, and he was the man of the year. They were couple of the year, and he won the title Mr. Sleek. 3 years in a row, I'll have you know. Peter was, though, a loving son. He was a brother, a cousin, a nephew, an uncle, a husband, a dad, a brother-in-law to Marjorie and to Graham, Nick and Richard, great-uncle to Reuben and Frey and Alexander, and of course, Papa. But he was also a great friend and a work colleague and a neighbour and a counsellor and an advisor, a consultant, and the list goes on and on. And it's been of great comfort to the family to know just how much he's been meant to so many. Peter will always be remembered by all of us who knew him as generous with his time, with his love and his money, always willing to help you, having the exact tool for the job, and providing advice and support for everyone. He had the ability to brighten up your day. He could light a room up when he walked in. He was a guy to go for IT, for computer and car problems, and he would always go the extra mile, including when he was playing a joke on you, right enough. A loving and caring man who was always interested in how you were doing. He was the uncle to many friends' children. Who else could rig up a computer games network so that all your pals could have weekends of fun? A drive buddy, a taxi driver, a bouncer, a confidant, a motivator, the world's worst snorer. Speak to me later about that one. A sound engineer, a roadie for the occasionals, a researcher, a provider of gifts, a supplier of Percy Pigs. It could go on, but we don't have all day. He was conventional and he was unconventional. Linda says he was a romantic, a true gentleman. He was sensitive, he was funny, and he had the biggest smile. He was all we would like the world to be. And he's been described as Mr. Clever and Mr. Fix-It. And as Liz and Peter would often say, when frustrated by something which was not working, they would take Peter's answer to that. Just hit it with a hammer. It usually works. There is a saying that there is a God space, a God-shaped space, just waiting to be filled in everyone's heart. And I hope you'll all agree that Peter's shaped hole has now appeared in our hearts. That hole's going to hurt for a little while. It'll be a bit raw and the edges will be a bit rough. But it will heal over. But the hole will remain. Finally, Peter helped out at a friend's wedding a few years ago. Linda always remembered what was said in the thank you speech at the end, and it seems very appropriate to repeat that now. Thank you, Peter, for being, well, just Peter. You all have your own memories of how he's impacted your lives. And I'm going to invite you to take the next few moments as we watch a slideshow, if you can see the photographs, I hope you can, and just listen to a rather poignant tune as we reflect on some of the family's memories that the girls would put together. And as you watch, remember Peter and his influence in your life. Shall we pray? Gracious and merciful God, the giver of every good gift, we thank you for all your blessings to us new every morning and more than we can number. We thank you for the gift of life itself and for the precious ties of family and of friends, for the joy of human affection and love. In particular today, we thank you for Peter, a beloved husband, a precious father and papa, a loving brother and brother-in-law, a precious uncle, a neighbor, and a friend. Lord, we know now that he is at rest, and we rejoice that he is with you, that in grace he is reunited with those who have gone before. So we thank you, Lord, for that promise. But help us to put our trust today in that promise of a Jesus who was crucified and raised from dead, that we might, in believing in him, have an eternal life in and through him. That God, in your comfort, I ask today that you grant your peace to Peter's life, Linda, to his daughter Sarah and her partner Chris, to Heather and her husband Michael, to little Daly and Moss, to his sister Liz, to his brothers Robbie and his wife Nikki, to Alan and his husband Richard, who are not able to be with us today, and to the remainder of his family and to his close friends who have all gathered here because they feel and they mourn the loss of Peter most. So might you give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garments of praise for the spirit of our heaviness. But grant us the comfort of your word, the strength from your presence, and the courage by your spirit to enable us to continue to honor you in all we do. And we ask all of these things with the unspoken prayers of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I, on behalf of Linda and the girls, thank you for your presence here today, for the love and the support that you've shown them at this sad time, and indeed for your presence in the days and months ahead, because that is when they will need you most. Now, at the close of this service, we'll be going from here to the Hillcroft Hotel, where the family invite you to join with them for refreshments. And whilst you're there, you can take the opportunity to share some of your own personal memories of Peter with them. As I said, Peter was keen to highlight prostate cancer, a disease for which he suffered, and also the work of Maggie's Cancer Care for the support he and the family received from them. The new race car outside was to be that vehicle to do that with. And so along with the local charity Smile, which Peter has tirelessly supported, you can, if you wish, as you leave, perhaps leave a donation to be distributed amongst the three charities, which we'll do in memory of him. I know many of you have travelled a long way. I know many of you have got things to go to very soon. I'm not sure what time sign-on is, but you've got enough time to have a wee drink before you go. But can I ask that you let the family leave first? And they'll go to the front of the church and they'll stay there. But then after a few exits, if you're going to the Hillcroft, then feel free just to go straight away and they'll see you there. If you're unable to attend the Hillcroft and you want to speak to the family, of course, you can do that at the front. They'll be there just gathered around the cars for a short time. We're going to sing together as we conclude a hymn that Peter knew well, the BB hymn. It talks of a sure and a certain hope of an eternal life that comes in accepting the Lord as your Saviour. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? I pray that the Lord will bless and protect you, that he will show you mercy and kindness. May the Lord be good to you and give you peace. And so may the blessing of God the Father, the unconditional love of his Son, and the comfort of his Holy Spirit be with each of you here and with all those whom you hold dear both in life and in death, from this day forward and forevermore. Amen.